I always find joy, though, in shouting out to what an incredible week we did have. We had a total of 140 children that were registered. That is the most I've ever seen in the years that I have worked on Vacation Bible School here. We had 60 adult volunteers that came in and out through the week. Some were able to stay the whole week. We had 20 youth volunteers that were here off and on throughout the week. Well done to our good and faithful and very exhausted servants, no doubt. Our staff, the covenant staff, we might be small, a small staff, but every one of them took part, and most of them were able to be here every single night. It's a very unifying project for our staff. We bonded through excitement, through joy, and exhaustion. Our staff, the volunteers, by Wednesday, I was not greeting them anymore with, "Hi, how are you? Glad you're here." It was a, "Thank you for coming back." And then Thursday, "Thank you for still being here." Wednesday's a tough, tough day. We are all tired, but the children, you weren't tired, were you? You never were tired the whole entire time. Thank you also to our church leadership who allowed us to basically take over the facilities. We took over every single closet, every corner, every big space, every small space. Some people came to try to do normal work this week, and they kind of just walked right back out of the church. So thank you for sharing the space with us for the week. Thank you for allowing this to stay up. This is the first time we've ever left our set up on a Sunday morning, and we're really thrilled because it brings excitement to the kids, and we hope it brings some excitement to you as well. So our Vacation Bible School theme this year was Life is Wild, God is Good. And we spent 5 nights talking to children about different ways that life can be more wild than we'd like, different than what we'd like. And we did not shy away from teaching the children what Jesus told the disciples, that in this world you will have trouble. I think it would be a shame to let our children think life is good and God is good and here we go. Our children, and it is amazing that most of them already know this, life is hard. Life is hard. So we were building upon what they've already experienced in life and reminding them that when life is unfair, we know this, don't we? And what else do we know? When life is scary, God is good. And when life changes, and when life is sad, and when life is good, God is good. Just to backtrack a few weeks, I basically already have sort of a wild life, just busy, just in a busy season of life. And Vacation Bible School plans begin in January, so the closer we get to May and June, the more there is to do. But if you know me, you know that I like when things are organized. That doesn't mean they're organized, but I like when they are. I also really don't like to bother people too often. So when people will offer, my typical response is, "I'm okay, I got it. I can do it. I got it." Which is a character trait and flaw all in one. This year, it was 2 weeks before Vacation Bible School started, and my daughter ended up with a very complicated diagnosis of an appendicitis. So we were in the hospital and then ended up with a complicated surgery, so we were there even longer. And in the very back of my mind was Vacation Bible School. But I couldn't go there. Our family was focused on her and getting her better. Then we spent a week home helping her recuperate, and it was sort of starting to creep back up again into my mind. And thank the Lord, she's good, she's healing, and she's going to read a scripture for us today about life being scary. But what that meant for me was I landed back in the church with 1 week to go and began to panic. Without a doubt, we did the right thing, focusing on my family. Family comes first. But I didn't know how everything was going to come together. And so my already wild life became more wild, and I literally had to remind myself, God is good, even in this. Why is this happening? Why right now? God is good. And what was pretty amazing was that last week leading up to Vacation Bible School, people started coming out of the woodwork. Some were people that I typically don't do ministry with, but people who came out and said, "May I please go to Costco?" Yes. "May I please make bags of mud for Bible study?" Yes. "May I please?" It was amazing to see God reminding me I'm not alone. I cannot do this, nor should I be trying to do anything by myself. But I am so grateful and blessed to those people who just stepped in and said, "I'm going to do this." I needed those people more than I knew, more than I thought. So thank you. So let's start at day one, Monday. We got to teach the children that when life is unfair. And this day, more than any other day, was fascinating to listen in on the children and what was unfair to them. This day, more than any other day, they were spitting their answers out at us. And 95% of them were siblings. Some, and I won't mention any names, but they're sitting in here today, basically said, and I'll use my children for an example. Basically, my daughter Olivia would say, "Isaac is the definition of unfair. That's Isaac is unfair, everything about him." So we had a lead up on this, trying to understand this Bible point. Having a sibling, sharing, not getting what you want, the children quickly understood what it meant to be unfair. So we had the honor of teaching them that when life is unfair with your brothers, with your sisters, God is good. Some of them shared examples of friendships being unfair, but for the most part it was, "Well, my brother gets more attention and my sister gets more time and this and that." And by the end, we were able to clarify, well, God is good in all those times you feel unfair. But throughout the week, Jerry Dunlap and I had the privilege of teaching Bible lesson, and I kept thinking, well, I'm not so worried about my sisters anymore. They're still totally unfair, totally, everything. We're all adults. But for me as an adult, there are still plenty of things that are unfair that I get so hung up on. And I wonder if that's the same for any of you. Things that bog us down, that weigh us down, that keep us from even considering to think about God's goodness. The scripture that we memorized, I'm going to have my friend Alexander come up. And the scripture that we memorized on Monday is Nahum 1:7. And Alexandra, I'm going to have you speak right into that microphone. She's going to share this with you.
"The Lord is good. When people are in trouble, they can go to him for safety. He takes good care of those who trust in him." Nahum 1:7.
Thank you. God's goodness. And when people are in trouble, dealing with circumstances that are unfair, we have to go to him for safety. And when we're so focused on whatever it is that is unfair, even looking around to find him for safety can seem impossible sometimes. We took the children way back into the book of Exodus, and on this day, we had them pretend to be Israelite slaves, and we had them make bricks, hence the mud that was made for us. And we took them through an experience where they were brick makers, no breaks, they were hungry, too bad. To help them, even though they pretty much knew what unfair felt like already, but to take them back and understand the Israelites and the true unfairness of their situation, the true exhaustion of their situation. It was hard for those Israelites to see the goodness of God, let alone see God in the midst of such unfairness. But we are called to look for him. And again, on this day, in this story, we reminded the kids right from the beginning, we're going to have things that are unfair. We're just putting it out there. It says it right here. Jesus told his disciples. But what we walked away with that day was, when life is unfair, kids, help me. God is good. We have to climb out to find a way to find God and his goodness in the midst of whatever is causing that unfairness. On day two, this was Tuesday, so we're still great. Everybody's great. We got through Monday. We have energy. Our Bible point was, when life is scary, God is good. And when I listened in on the kids and asked the kids about things, they were scary. They had no shortage of everything from bees, snakes, lots of spiders. The dark, heights, scary movies, and zip lines. So the children came to us already with something that was scary to them. Now for us as teens and adults, we may have overcome some of those fears and may have some that are much, much bigger. I'm going to have my daughter, Olivia, share our next scripture that we taught the children and encouraged them to memorize, Psalm 23:4.
Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid. You are with me. Your shepherd's rod and staff comforts me. Psalm 23:4.
For our Bible lesson, we took the children again back to Egypt. They were thankful we didn't make any more bricks on this second day. But we did. Jerry and I walked them through the plagues of Egypt. Children, Mr. Jerry dressed up as who?
King Pharaoh,
head to toe King Pharaoh, very, very serious, very unfair, very mean, did not let his people go. We walked them through the plagues. Again, helping the children, thinking as Israelites, just to see firsthand how frightening and awesome the power of God was through those plagues. We did focus on the 10th plague, the plague of death. And of course, they got to witness Pharaoh weeping for the loss of his own son. You could hear a pin drop in every single Bible class, including the kindergartners. They were taken back by the sadness that the king had had, who had before then been so horribly mean and unfair. Excited as we were when he finally told us to get out of there, we explained to the children that finally we, God's people, were released. And again, as I was teaching, I kept thinking, okay, thankfully I didn't have to live through those plagues. Gnats, boils, locusts. But I have plagues of my own. I am plagued myself with fear, with worry. Whether or not it's justifiable, it is my sin. It is what I do. And again, when I'm plagued down with those things, I don't have a chance of seeing God's goodness. And the same for us. We have our fears, but it is God's call on our life to find a way to climb above those or push them aside so that we can recognize and be loved by his goodness. Because we know that when life is scary,
God is good.
Day 3, little moment of truth. I did wake up and say to my husband, I don't think so. Can someone be me? And he kind of laughed and walked out of the room. So I was dragging the whole day. You know, and it's that day where you're not halfway done, but you feel like you should be totally done. And you get here, and I saw a few other people also dragging. But then the kids get here, and they're certainly not. So thanks to their energy, we kept going. And on day 3, we focused on when life changes, God is good. You know, I think it was timely asking the children about changes in their life. Almost all of them that were school-aged could relate to the change of saying goodbye to a teacher because we had just finished school, saying goodbye to a classmate, not being sure who's my next teacher, well, is my friend going to be in my class, not liking that change. We had a few people that had moved houses, moved towns, moved schools. It was amazing all week long. Jerry and I were not introducing anything new when we were saying to them, you're going to have changes in life. In fact, one of my friends, his name is Jeffrey. I just got to meet Jeffrey this week. When we introduced this topic of life, when life changes, he says out loud, what is the big deal here? We're going to have changes. And I looked at him, and I actually kind of had to stop what we were doing. I said, wait, everybody, you need to hear what Jeffrey just said. I needed to hear what Jeffrey just said. Why do we get so hung up on them? Jeffrey knew, what is the big deal? Why are we even taking a day on this? We're going to have changes. We're going to hear from my friend Cambria, She's going to come and read actually what was Wednesday's verse, but it was also our overarching theme verse. We wanted to make sure if the children just left with a few things, that they left with this one verse. Here, go speak into the mic. It's up there or it's right here. Okay.
Give thanks to the Lord because he is good. His faithful love continues forever. Psalms 106:1.
You can ask the children later, but we did something fun and new this year to try to encourage more Bible memory, and it worked. It's pretty amazing. So this story, there was relief in the room because the Israelites, as the children had been talked to as up until now, were released. And so we dressed up a child in each group as Moses. Jerry had an amazing Moses rod. And we told the children, let's go. Pharaoh let us go. In his sadness, he let us go. And they started walking. And all of a sudden, we reminded them, you know, Pharaoh changed his mind, though. You better move faster. So it's moving a lot faster behind Pharaoh. And Jerry unrolled the Red Sea. He had a blue runner that he actually rolled down the middle of the room. And you could hear the... It was magical for some of these kids to see Moses and to see the water. And then we made them all wiggle their way along the Red Sea. Then, of course, we talked about the Red Sea closing. And we also focused on what happened afterwards. God's people had been through so much. Here they were on the other side. Finally, what's to come now? What sort of changes did they have lying ahead? Where were they going? Would there be food? Would there be water? And we went into that. There was no food. There was no water. But then God provided. God delivered miracles. It was good to end on a high note on Wednesday. Finally, for our children to see, okay, good. God's people, some better things were happening. And to help them see that when life changes, God is good. I think my favorite part of the scripture that we read to the kids on Wednesday, they were all lined up behind our actor that was dressed as Moses. And the scripture said, the Israelites looked back. So we had everybody look back. And then Moses says to the people, the Lord will fight for you. Just be still. And I know I found that verse before at times where I was just needing to be still, and I was not, and I was fighting to just be still. And I asked the groups, can you believe that? God just said, be still. Before you is water, and behind you is an army, and he says, just be still. How many times does he want that for us? Just be still. You've got changes before you, changes behind you, fear before you, unfairness behind you. Just be still. He will fight for us. Day 4, I think we were a bit more rejuvenated because we knew we were going to make it. We had made it through Wednesday. And on day 4, we were able to talk to the children about how when life is sad, God is good. And it was cool. We actually opened the Bible. You know, we showed them we'd been in the second book of the Bible in Exodus, and we showed them how many chapters we flipped. We fast-forwarded on Thursday to get to the story of Jesus. Now, when I asked our children what things made them sad, being pushed, being bullied, mommy going out of town, but the rest of them all mentioned death. Our children that we want to protect sometimes can't be protected from some of the things that are so very sad in this world. And it got me thinking again, well, what is sadness for me right now in life? What is going on that is making me so sad that I cannot grasp God and his goodness? We're going to hear our fourth verse from my friend Caitlin Ballard. I'm going to stand right here by you. And I think mommy's going to come too. Yeah. It's up there on the screen, or I have it right here. You want to read it? Where do you want to read it from?
The Lord is close to those whose hearts have been broken. He saves those whose spirits have been crushed. Psalm 34:18.
So as I said, on this day, we put a pause on the Israelites, for they had a long journey anyway, so we could pause on their story. And we fast-forwarded to the end of Jesus' life. And we did have children in every group that did not know the name of Jesus, which was such a good thing for them to be here this week. Many of the children did know that the end of Jesus' life was filled with sadness, and his friends and family witnessed the sadness, the betrayal by Judas, we talked about that, the arrest, Jesus being made fun of, and then the crucifixion. And we had a beautiful cross, the one we use on Easter Sunday that we put flowers in. We had brought that into the room. And we did a really powerful activity on this day. We gave the children a stone. And we had the stone represent their sin. And we asked them if the stone was dirty. Yeah, most of them were. They came out of my yard. So they were dirty. And we used that as a reminder of, you know, when we sin, our hearts get dirty. And then I asked them if their stone was heavy. And, of course, some are wanting to prove that they're not. And so we actually did quite well, kept safe with the stones, but no, this isn't heavy. But then we talked about, well, this is one sin. I already need a bucket for my day. And just showed them how easy it is for us to sin, how easy it is for us to make a choice that is displeasing to God. And nobody liked the idea of carrying around a bucket all day and having to throw stones in every time. So we walked up to the cross. And at the bottom of the cross, we had a metal bucket. And each child got the chance to walk up all by themselves and drop in their rock. What did we whisper? God is good. What was also really powerful was the sound of the dropping rock on a metal bucket. And we asked them to imagine it being the sound of the nails being hammered into Jesus. And it was amazing. We had a group of 37 first graders and kindergartners. It was amazing. They did it. And they were quiet. And they wanted to listen to each other dropping their rocks. It was quite powerful what this one little rock helped them symbolize. It would have been really easy in all of the planning of Vacation Bible School to skip over that story, to keep going with the Israelites, or just make sure we had more snack and more games and the fun stuff. But how could we miss the opportunity to have 140 children here in our church? How could we miss that opportunity to talk about sin, but to talk about the love and redemption of Jesus? And on Thursday and Friday, we had one of our elders who moved into my office and had a spot set up so that as children left the Bible class, if they had more questions, if they were ready to invite Jesus to be the Lord of their lives, they had a place to go. We've learned in the past, we just kind of keep, nope, no time. Oh, we'll talk Jesus later. Go to games, go to snack. And we were missing opportunities. So we got this down. We gave kids, and there were kids who wanted more time to talk about Jesus, to understand more about the stone, more about their sins, more about what it means for them to give their sins to Jesus. So although it was a sad day, we did remember that life will be sad, and when life is sad, God is good. We have made it to day 5. We made it. And everyone just had a renewed energy. Looked like a little bit of a storm was rolling in, and Eric was out putting up our giant water slides, and the storm never came. Water was perfect. We were excited. We were ready to finish strong. And we celebrated this day that when life is good, God is good. Of course, the kids can't stop coming up with ideas of things that are good. I asked them to think about their perfect day. What would that look like? So it was everything from birthdays to parties, Lake Tahoe, Six Flags, family, friends, and then this one. The day I was born. Those are not from me. These are from our children. The day I was born was a good day. So what about us? I know for me, when I see goodness, oftentimes I like to take the credit for it. I'm still clamoring around looking where is God in it. I'm actually not looking because I'm pretty pleased that something is finally good. Not so unfair or sad. Not so full of changes. So this lesson for me, boy, taught me to remember that we will have good. The Bible also promises that. And when we do have good, God, remember to give him the glory for that goodness, along with giving him the glory when things are sad and scary and unfair and changing. God is good in the goodness. Jackson Burke. Here he is. Come on, Jackson. Jackson has our final verse for today. This is a good one for us to end on. Jackson, it's on the screen, or I have it right here, buddy.
Remember the Lord, he is great and powerful. Nehemiah 4:14.
Thank you. In all of this, we strive for our children this year to remember the Lord, his goodness, his greatness, his power. And in our final Bible lesson, Jerry was able to finally get the Israelites to the promised land. They crossed over the Jordan, and their rocks came back. The rocks that they had dropped in front of the cross the night before. Jerry had them build memorials, as Joshua did, as he finally took the people into the promised land. But instead of us just leaving piles of rocks around the church, Jerry invited the children to take them home. So if your child brought home a rock, that was the plan. Not only a reminder of their sin, but a reminder of God's goodness, his faithfulness, his answers to our promises. The last song that we are going to close with, we do have prayers of the people, but after that, Jay's going to call the children back up, and they're going to sing a song called Thankful. And I hope that this is the song that sticks with you. The song asks us to remember everything that the Lord has done, everything, even when our life is unfair and scary and sad and changes, remembering to be thankful. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day to celebrate your goodness with so many friends. Thank you for the truths that we were able to teach your children, but how much those truths are for all of us, your children, children of all ages, to remember that life does bring trouble. But we must know, we must hold on to your goodness so that when the trouble comes, the unfairness, the changes, the sadness, and the fear, we can climb up to find you and your goodness and hang on to that through it all. Thank you for this chance to worship and to learn. And please bless our fellowship as we continue with our time to celebrate today. And in your precious name we pray, amen.